Here's your fair value brief for Monday, July 20th, 2026. Oil just hit $88 a barrel, and that changes everything. The Fed's plans for rate cuts? Suddenly in doubt. Copper's at $14,000 a ton, and AI's hardware backbone is buckling under the strain. Meanwhile, China's AI just designed a chip in 48 hours, putting pressure on companies like Synopsys and Cadence, which both dropped hard last week. And with 20% of the world's copper mines at risk, this squeeze isn't going away anytime soon. Now, to the markets. Oil surge to $88 isn't just about what you pay at the pump. It's rewriting the Fed's entire playbook. You've probably noticed gas prices climbing fast, up 10% in just the last month. But here's what that means for the bigger picture. Brent crude closed Friday at $87.99, up nearly 16% for the week and 28% for the month. This isn't just another spike, it's a full-blown regime change, and it's forcing the Fed to confront a harsh reality. Their plans to ease rates are now crashing headfirst into resurgent inflation. Let's break down the numbers. Traffic through the Strait of Hormuz is down to just 5% of normal, effectively blocked. U.S. crude inventories dropped by 1.69 million barrels last week, and refineries are running at 96.2% capacity, meaning demand is outstripping supply fast. There's also a geopolitical risk premium of $10 to $15 per barrel baked into prices right now. Here's the kicker. Historically, a $10 jump in oil adds between 0.4 and 0.6 percentage points to headline inflation within 3 months. With June's PCE data due this Friday, the math isn't pretty. Core PCE is sitting at 2.2%, right in the Fed's target zone. But headline PCE, thanks to oil, is likely to hit between 2.8 and 3%. That's a gap of 60 to 80 basis points between what the Fed expected and what's actually happening. And the ripple effects? They spread fast. If PCE confirms the shock, the 10-year Treasury yield could jump from 4.56% to over 4.7. That means mortgage rates climbing from 6.55% to 6.75 or higher. Credit card APRs, which are tied to the prime rate, won't be getting any relief either. Even the S&P 500's discount rate could rise by 25 basis points, putting pressure on growth stocks like Netflix, which dropped 7.3% last week, and Tesla, down 2.6%. Inside the Fed, the debate is heating up. One camp thinks this is just a temporary supply shock, like we saw in 2022. The other camp is worried it's a persistent demand shock, more like 2008. There are two key signals to watch this week. First, the spread between the 10-year and 5-year Treasury yields. It's at 25 basis points right now, but if it widens to 40 or more, the market is betting on lasting inflation. Second, keep an eye on the term premium. That's the extra yield investors demand for holding long-term debt. If it spikes, it means the Fed's concerns about financial stability might override its inflation targets, pushing any rate cuts into late 2026 or even 2027. The takeaway? Sure, gas prices hurt your wallet at the pump, but the real pain is going to show up in mortgages, credit cards, and savings rates. And the bond market's message is clear. The Fed's easing cycle might already be off the table. Here's what to watch this week. The big question hanging over the market right now is simple. Can the Fed really cut rates with oil sitting at $88? The weekend's move set the tone. Brent crude is at $88, up 5.6% for the week, while WTI crude is at $81.29, up 4%. U.S. crude inventories are down, gasoline stocks are down, and refineries are running near full capacity. Demand is winning, and bonds are reacting first. The 10-year Treasury yield is now at 4.56%, up 8 basis points for the week, and the yield curve is bear steepening. Longer-term rates are rising faster, which is a classic signal that the market expects higher inflation ahead. Stocks felt the pressure too. The S&P 500 dropped 1.4% on Friday, the NASDAQ lost 1.5%, and the VIX, Wall Street's fear gauge, climbed to 18.38, up 7%. Growth stocks took the biggest hit. Netflix fell 7.3%, Meta dropped 2.8%, Nvidia lost 2.2%, and Tesla slipped 2.6%. Even defensives like Coca-Cola, down 4%, and Home Depot, down 2.6%, weren't safe. the only winners? Energy stocks. Occidental Petroleum rose 2.3%, and Exxon gained 1%. Over the weekend, geopolitics got even messier. Two U.S. service members were killed in Iran's missile strike on a base in Jordan. The Strait of Hormuz is still effectively closed, with traffic at just 5% of normal. And now, Iran has instructed Yemen's Houthis to prepare to block the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, the Red Sea's critical choke point, if the U.S. retaliates. That would put 20% of global oil supply and 7% of world trade at risk. And then there's the AI supply chain crunch. Copper is at $14,000 per ton, driven by Chile's drought, sulfuric acid shortages, and U.S. tariffs. Meanwhile, China's Kimi K3 AI just designed a chip in 48 hours, crushing stocks like Synopsys, down 8%, and Cadence, down 12%. This week, the calendar is all about inflation. Today, we get Canada's CPI. If it comes in weaker than expected, it'll suggest oil's rally isn't a global phenomenon. On Wednesday, the ECB meets, and while markets expect a 25 basis point cut, the Fed's moves could delay that. But the main event is Friday's June PCE report. If it comes in above 2.8%, the Fed will likely pause, the 10-year yield will climb above 4.7%, and September rate cuts will be off the table. If it's below 2.6%, the Fed might dismiss the oil shock as temporary and keep easing. Either way, this week isn't about earnings or GDP. It's about one number, Friday's PCE print. And that number will tell us whether $88 oil has forced the Fed to change the game. Now let's zoom out. We've got two markets sending very different signals right now, and they're on a collision course. Bonds are pricing in higher inflation. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 4.56%, the 2-year is at 4.16%, and the yield curve is bear steepening, meaning long-term rates are rising faster than short-term ones. That's a classic sign that the market expects higher inflation and stronger growth. The spread between the 10-year and 2-year yields is now 37 basis points, up from 25 last week. And the TIPS break-even rate, what the market expects inflation to average over the next decade, is at 2.24%, and it's likely headed higher if oil stays near $88. But oil is signaling something even more alarming. A supply crisis. Brent crude is at $87.99, WTI is at $81.29, and the Strait of Hormuz is still nearly closed. U.S. crude inventories are down, refineries are running at max capacity, and gasoline stocks are falling fast. The problem? Demand isn't slowing down. Here's the disconnect. The Fed's July meeting minutes still assume inflation is near 2%. But Friday's PCE report is going to test that. Core PCE is at 2.2%, but headline PCE, thanks to oil, will likely hit between 2.8% and 3%. If it does, the Fed's easing plans go out the window. The 10-year yield will climb above 4.7%, mortgage rates will jump to 6.75% or higher, and the S&P 500's discount rate will rise by 25 basis points. Bad news for growth stocks. Commodities are sending mixed signals too. Copper is up 1.7%, hitting $632.50 per pound, thanks to supply squeezes from Chile's drought, acid shortages, and tariffs. Gold is steady at $4,024.70 per ounce, and silver is up 2.1%. But natural gas is down 2.2%, showing that not all commodities are feeling the heat. Stocks are caught in the middle. The S&P 500 is down 1% for the week. The Nasdaq lost 1.5%, and the Dow slipped 0.8%. Small caps, which are more sensitive to higher rates, are hurting too. The Russell 2000 is down 0.4%. Energy is the only sector in the green, up 4.7%, while tech is down 5.5%. The Fed's reaction this week is everything. Right now, markets are pricing in a 50% chance of a July rate cut, with September seen as a lock. But if PCE comes in above 2.8%, those bets get wiped out. No July cut, and September becomes uncertain. If the 10-year yield climbs above 4.7%, it'll confirm that the market is repricing for a longer-term shift. And if the Fed pauses in July, not just September, it'll signal that higher rates are here to stay for a while. Geopolitics are the wild card. If the Middle East tensions escalate further, oil could hit $95 or more, forcing the Fed to act even sooner. Now, let's look around the world. The Middle East isn't just an oil problem. It's turning into a full-blown shipping crisis. The Strait of Hormuz is still 95% closed after Iran's attacks in late February, with traffic at just 5% of normal. Iran is only approving a few vessels per day, mostly those sticking close to its northern coast. US and EU sanctions haven't reopened the strait, and now Iran has ordered Yemen's Houthis to prepare to close the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, the Red Sea's critical choke point, if the US strikes Iranian targets. A double blockade would threaten 20% of global oil supply and 7% of world trade. The Red Sea route to Europe is already operating at just 49% of its pre-crisis capacity. If Bab el-Mandeb closes, shipping costs will skyrocket. Qatar, a key LNG supplier to Europe, has already declared force majeure on all its exports after Iranian drone strikes hit its facilities. And over the weekend, two U.S. service members were killed in Iran's missile attack on a base in Jordan, which has already prompted U.S. retaliatory strikes. Currencies are reacting fast. The U.S. dollar is at 100.81, up on safe haven demand. The Australian dollar is at 70 cents flat, under pressure from commodity prices. The Canadian dollar is at 1.4030, exposed to oil's volatility. The British pound is steady at 1.3463, and the Japanese yen is near multi-decade lows at 162.41, despite verbal intervention from Tokyo. China's adding another layer of complexity. Beijing is ramping up pressure on Taiwan, targeting everything from children's choirs to baristas. TSMC shares fell 2.8% on supply chain fears. And in a clever maneuver, China rushed out $6 billion worth of oil during a U.S. truce, sending about 20 tankers to Asia, likely bound for China. It's a short-term win, but the long-term risk is that the U.S. and its allies will accelerate efforts to diversify supply chains away from China, especially for rare earth minerals that are critical for EVs, renewables, and defense. Europe's walking a tightrope. The ECB meets on Wednesday, and while markets expect a 25 basis point cut, a Fed pause could delay that. The euro is steady at 1.1434 against the dollar, and the Swiss franc is seeing safe haven flows at 0.8081. The UK's inflation data comes out on Tuesday. If CPI comes in above 2.7%, the Bank of England might have to delay its own rate cuts. And the space race is heating up. India's Skyroot Aerospace successfully launched its Vikram 1 rocket, making India the third nation, after the US and China, with private orbital capability. SpaceX is preparing for Starship Flight 13 today, testing its V3 Starlink satellites. Why does this matter? Because securing critical mineral supply chains and dominating satellite communications and surveillance is becoming a strategic priority for governments and corporations alike. Now let's talk companies. Netflix is slipping. Shares fell 7.3% to $68.95, down 10.9% this month, after its latest filing revealed slowing subscriber growth and higher content costs. Even the streaming giant isn't immune to consumers pulling back on spending. Meta's stock dropped 2.8% to $646.01 as investors digest the eye-popping $50 billion cost of its Hyperion data center in Louisiana, now scaled up to 5 gigawatts, double the original plan. The company also raised its 2026 CapEx guidance to $125 to $145 billion, up from $115 to $135 billion, citing higher component costs. With copper at $14 per pound and chip design stocks like Synopsys and Cadence crashing, down 8 and 12%, respectively, it's clear that AI's hardware costs are spiraling out of control. Tesla's facing challenges in China. The stock fell 2.6% to $380.84, down 6.6% for the week and 4.9% for the month, as China's Kimi K3 AI demonstrated it could design a chip autonomously in just 48 hours, a direct threat to Tesla's full self-driving ambitions. Chinese EV makers like BYD are gaining market share, and Tesla's Gigafactory in Shanghai is dealing with rising copper and lithium costs. The stock is now 20% off its 2026 highs. Even defensives aren't safe. Coca-Cola dropped 4% to $81.56, its worst day in months, erasing $20 billion in market cap. Peers like Pepsi, down 1.7%, and Procter & Gamble, down 1%, also weakened. The message is clear. When the 10-year yield rises and the VIX hits 18.38, no sector is truly safe. Goldman Sachs dragged financials lower after reporting disappointing trading revenues and warning of higher funding costs if the Fed pauses its cuts. The KBW Bank Index fell 0.9%, with JP Morgan down 0.6% and Morgan Stanley off 1.3%. The bright spot? Regional banks like U.S. Bancorp and Fifth Third outperformed, benefiting from higher net interest margins in a higher-for-longer rate environment. Occidental Petroleum was one of the few winners, rising 2.3% to $54.86, up 5.9% for the month, thanks to stronger production in the Permian Basin and $88 oil. Exxon and Chevron also gained, making energy the only sector in the green today. Lockheed Martin announced a shift to a lower-cost Patriot missile, half the price and faster to deploy, which could reshape defense spending by shifting billions from high-end systems to mass-producible alternatives. That's a tailwind for Lockheed, but a headwind for competitors like Raytheon. And Prologis saw its $18.2 billion bid for SEGRO rejected for the third time, despite a 33.8% premium. The failure highlights the valuation gap between U.S. and European real estate. Prologis slipped 0.9%, and SEGRO stock will likely drop when London markets open. From Washington, the Fed's oil dilemma is front and center. This week's June PCE report, out Friday at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, will decide the central bank's next move. The Fed's July minutes assumed inflation was near 2%, but $88 oil shreds that assumption. Here's what's at stake. If PCE comes in above 2.8%, the Fed will pause. The 10-year yield will climb above 4.7%. Mortgage rates will jump to 6.75% or higher, and the VIX will stay elevated between 18 and 22. If PCE is below 2.6%, the oil shock will be dismissed, and September rate cuts will be back on the table. Political pressure is growing too. Senator Elizabeth Warren is urging the Fed to pause cuts until inflation is clearly under control, while Senator Rick Scott blames the Fed's easy money policies for fueling inflation. The White House wants lower rates to ease consumer borrowing, but can't afford to look soft on inflation ahead of the midterms. Fed Chair Powell is caught between a rock and a hard place. Cutting rates with oil at $88 risks making the Fed look behind the curve, but pausing could trigger a market tantrum. Elsewhere in D.C., the DOJ is easing up on corporate crime. The Wall Street Journal reported that prosecutors declined to charge businesses in several cases, even when there was evidence of employee wrongdoing. The shift reflects the Biden administration's focus on individual accountability over corporate penalties, a win for big business, but a potential moral hazard. The SEC, meanwhile, is ramping up enforcement. It charged 11 firms, including Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Bank of America, for failing to preserve electronic communications. The crypto crackdown continues too, with the CFTC investigating Binance and Coinbase for potential derivatives manipulation. And the Treasury missed its July 18th deadline for finalizing rules under the Genius Act, leaving stablecoin issuers like Circle and Paxos in limbo. The delay gives them more time to lobby, but also prolongs the uncertainty. Now, let's dig into how oil's rally is forcing the Fed's hand. Oil's surge to $88 isn't just about higher gas prices. It's rewiring the Fed's entire approach to inflation. Here's how it works. Brent crude's 15.9% weekly jump will likely push June's headline PCE inflation to between 2.8 and 3%. That forces the Fed to weigh its easing plans against inflation that's suddenly heating up again. Mortgages, credit cards, and savings rates are all hanging in the balance. Here's the transmission chain. First, oil pushes up inflation. Historically, a $10 increase in oil adds between 0.4 and 0.6 percentage points to headline CPI within 3 months. With June's PCE report due Friday, core inflation is at 2.2%, the Fed's comfort zone, but headline inflation, thanks to oil, is about to jump to 2.8 to 3%. That's a 60 to 80 basis point gap between the Fed's assumptions and reality. Next, inflation forces the Fed's hand. The July meeting minutes still assume a September rate cut, but if PCE comes in above 2.8%, the Fed will have to pause. Market pricing currently gives a 50% chance of a July cut, with September seen as a sure thing, but both could collapse if PCE runs hot. Then, the Fed's move ripples through the bond market. The 10-year Treasury yield would climb from 4.56% to over 4.7%. The term premium, the extra yield investors demand for holding long-term debt, would jump on inflation fears. And if the spread between the 10-year and 5-year yields widens from 25 basis points to 40 or more, the market will be betting on structural inflation. Finally, bonds affect everything else. Mortgage rates would climb from 6.55% to 6.75% or higher, adding about $100 a month to the average payment. Credit card APRs, which are tied to the prime rate, would stay high. Corporate borrowing costs would rise, and the S&P 500's discount rate would increase by 25 basis points, putting pressure on growth stocks like Netflix and Nvidia. The big debate right now is whether this is a temporary shock, like in 2022, or a persistent one, like in 2008. If the 10-year/5-year spread widens beyond 40 basis points, the market is betting on persistence. And if the Fed's focus on financial stability, highlighted by Governor Jefferson, overrides its inflation goals, rate cuts could be delayed through the fourth quarter. What could change the script? If PCE comes in below 2.6%, the oil shock will be dismissed and easing will resume. But if the 10-year yield climbs above 4.7%, it'll confirm that the market is repricing for a longer-term shift. And if the Fed pauses in July, not just September, it'll signal that higher rates are here to stay. Now, let's talk about why the inflation you feel might not match the official numbers. You've probably noticed that gas is now $4 a gallon, up 10% in just a month. That's your inflation. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics measures inflation differently, using the Consumer Price Index, or CPI. Here's why the numbers don't always match up. First, it's about the basket of goods. The BLS tracks 36,000 households to build a basket of 8 categories: food, housing, apparel, transportation, medical care, recreation, education, and a catch-all called other. But the weights matter. Housing, or shelter, makes up 32% of CPI, while gasoline is just 3.8%. So even if gas prices spike, CPI might not move as much as you'd expect. Second, there's core versus headline inflation. Headline CPI includes food and energy, both volatile. Core CPI excludes them, which is why the Fed prefers it. Right now, headline CPI is being pushed up by $88 oil, but core CPI, which includes stickier costs like rent and wages, is what the Fed is really watching. Third, your personal inflation isn't the same as the average. CPI is based on an urban consumer average, but your spending mix is different. If you drive a lot, gas matters more to you. If you rent in a hot market, your shelter costs, which make up 32% of CPI, might be rising faster than the national average. The BLS also adjusts for quality changes. For example, a new iPhone with better features might not count as pure inflation, which can make the official numbers feel out of step with your wallet. Finally, the Fed targets 2% inflation but uses a different measure, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, or PCE, not CPI. PCE includes rural consumers and adjusts its weights monthly, while CPI uses fixed weights. Right now, core PCE is at 2.2%, the Fed's comfort zone, but headline PCE is about to jump because of oil, which could force the Fed to react even if core inflation stays tame. Here's why this matters today. Friday's PCE report will determine whether oil's rally is feeding into broader inflation. If it is, the Fed will pause its rate cuts, yields will rise, and borrowing costs will stay high. If not, the Fed might still cut rates in September. Either way, CPI and PCE are the numbers that will decide whether your mortgage rate climbs or your savings account yield stalls. Finally, here's what to watch this week. This week, all eyes are on one number, Friday's PCE print. Here's the schedule. Today, we get Canada's CPI for June, with the month-over-month forecast at negative 0.2%. If it comes in weaker than expected, it'll suggest that oil's rally isn't a global phenomenon. Later tonight, New Zealand's second quarter CPI is expected to come in at 1.5%, up from 0.9% last quarter. On Wednesday, the ECB meets. Markets expect a 25 basis point rate cut, but if the Fed signals a pause, the ECB might hold off too. And then there's Friday's main event, the June PCE report at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. If it comes in above 2.8%, the Fed will likely pause its rate cuts. The 10-year yield will climb above 4.7%, and September easing will be off the table. If it's below 2.6%, the Fed might dismiss the oil shock as temporary and keep cutting rates. That's it for today. Stay sharp. This week, it's all about the data.